So it flew by fast this year. We went from January to December in just the blink of an eye. And now we're hitting that time of year where we're looking at everything we did and saying, here's what I want to accomplish next year. Everybody sets those goals, those tasks. Sadly, according to a few online surveys I looked at, 75% of the people admitted within that first week they quit following any of the things they set. Any of those goals, they were all gone. The one survey went one step further and said, okay, if you were in the 25 that said, I've made it past the week, did you really make it past the week? And out of those 25, another 50% admitted, no, they just wanted to say yes. So how do we go any further than that? How do we sit here and go, I'm going to set a goal and I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to follow it. Well, as we begin this new year, we need to begin it with an end in sight. To better understand this, we need to fully grasp what a parable is. The sermon's on the parable of the talents. It's a story that everybody knows that Jesus told. But we need to truly understand what a parable is in order to use this to help us in this coming year. So I'm going to start with telling you a parable of my own. As you all know, I have another job where I'm a manager. In this job, I give assignments to people. When it comes time for vacation, I give specific assignments, things I want people to accomplish, things I want them to do. And I have three people that work for me. I give them each individual task so that way they continue to progress and do more. And basically I say, here's where we're at now and here's where we need to get to. Based on their own skill levels, I give differing levels of tasks to them, differing levels of responsibilities. Some of them say I'm a little strict. I expect a lot out of people. I'm not sure whether that comes from the manager side or it comes from the pastoral side, but you see the potential in people and you just want to help them progress. So you look at what a person is at and you see what they're able to do and you want to help them get there. So you give them a challenge, something they have to work at, not something that they can just sit back comfortably and do, but something they got to put a little effort into so they can continue to grow. I see it as a manager's responsibility and duty to sit there and say, this is where the person's at. How do I get them to advance? Some people look at it and they go, well, a manager never wants somebody to advance past them. I see it the exact opposite. If I can get somebody to advance past me, then I did a great job as a manager. So when I'm gone, I continue to want them in advance, and I gave them these tasks. And the first person came, and they did an excellent job. They grew. When I came back, I went, this person is getting close. A little bit more, and they might be able to be a supervisor somewhere. They might be able to advance to a different part of this company. They might be able to advance in a different company. I don't care whether it advances in our company, another company. I just want them to meet that potential and continue to grow. Second person did a very good job too. Continued to grow, meet every goal I gave them, and then some. That third person didn't quite have the skill level of the other two. Not quite as determined. Knew I was strict, and when I came back, said, you know what? I met every task you gave me. I decided, since this is what I did in the past, I'm doing it the exact same. I'm not changing anything because I didn't want to disappoint you. I didn't want to upset you. And you look at the other two and you go, I gave them their assignments and they go, here's how we can do it better. Here's how we can grow. And you get to the third person and go, they didn't do anything different. They didn't want to grow. They didn't want to advance. They didn't want to do anything but what they've always done. So what do you say to a worker like that? A worker who's sitting there saying, I'm just going to do what I've always done. I'm never going to change. Do you let that Bible side of you come out a little bit and go, you evil worker, what were you thinking? Just doing the same? How could you not advance? I'm going to go to the head of HR and tell them exactly what you did. that reference you were looking for in that other job, I'm just going to call them up and tell them what an evil worker you are, how you won't advance any, how you won't go any further. I'm going to tell them they shouldn't hire you because it's just a waste of their money. You're not going to do anything for them. All you're going to try and do is the same you've always done. Seems a little over the top, a little over-exaggerated. That's how a parable works. A parable is a story where the emphasis is over-exaggerated to make you understand that point. And it's exactly how the parable of the talents went. Starts off in Matthew 25, verse 14. For it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. We have 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. We're at 8 talents. Doesn't sound like a whole lot. Let me put this in perspective. 8 talents back then, today, would be about $2 million. He gave away $2 million while he was gone. A single talent then would be about $250,000. That's the cost of a very nice house. At that time, that was an extraordinary amount of money to have, especially just to have it in a liquid asset, something that you could just hand over. It was way above the top. When we read today, we lose sight of that because all we see is the number 8 to us. That didn't really mean anything. Even if we go by the value of taking it up to the 2 million, it still doesn't have that same impact as it would back then. To be able to get rid of that amount of money, to just hand it over for somebody to take care of, was unheard of. This was a story that people would have read in him. Heard it and listened to it and go, that's never going to happen. Nobody's ever going to hand over that much. That's exactly what the story's saying. He's trying to get the emphasis of how important it is to be obedient, how important it is to go over the top. And he wanted to grab everybody's attention. So he's making sure he overemphasized and exaggerated everything to keep the attention of those listening. And those who would later read. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and gave 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. He doubled it. That extraordinary amount of money he started off with. He said, I'm not just going to sit there with status quo. I'm going to go out and work for you, just as you would anticipate, just as you would expect. I'm going to be obedient to what you ask of me. I'm going to serve you. Was there a little risk involved? Of course there was. But in every single task we do every day, there is a risk involved. If it's simply cleaning out a gutter, you're still going to climb a ladder. You still got to reach out. If it's a mopping a floor, well, now you got a wet floor. The possibility of slipping and falling. No matter what we do, there is always a risk attached to it. And his master said to him in verse 21, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. He was given $500,000 and gained another $500,000 and turned it into $1,000,000. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talents in the ground. See, you have what's yours. You have what's yours. I didn't go out and try and work for you. I didn't go out and try and do anything. I just kept the status quo. I dug a hole. I put it in it." What he's really saying is, "I stayed comfortable. I didn't challenge myself to advance. I didn't challenge myself to work as a good servant for you. I just did what I've always done. Status quo. Nothing new." Verse 26, "But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. On my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" So what's the saying to us today? What's the challenge for us? What it's saying is, in our lives, God will give us blessings. But each blessing we have is really a challenge. In our nation today, we've grown as Christians to become very comfortable. The nation as a whole, Christians and non-believers, they've all grown very comfortable. When you can sit there and read challenges where there's trophies awarded, and there's a trophy awarded yearly for the couch potato, does that not sound like a nation who's grown way too comfortable? Let me explain to you how this challenge worked. They were given a chair to sit in. They were put in front of a TV. They didn't have control over the TV. But they were challenged to sit in that TV for as long as possible without falling asleep. They were given food to eat. They were given restroom breaks 3 times a day. But basically, they had to sit there and watch TV without falling asleep. And if they managed to do that, they were given a reward. Not only were they given a nice big trophy of a potato sprouting, they were given a brand new recliner chair, leather chair. They were given $1,000, and their cable bill would be paid for the next year. For doing what? Sitting on a chair and just challenging themselves not to fall asleep. The man who won stayed awake for 72 hours watching sports and was given all these things. This man who won it had a girlfriend. Girlfriend was interviewed, and what she said, it kind of amused me. She said, "My boyfriend takes everything very serious, and he put a lot of work and effort into training for this event." I'm not sure how you can say it's work and effort to train yourself to sit in a chair and watch TV for 72 hours straight. That's doing absolutely nothing. You can't train yourself to do nothing. You just sit back and do it. Now, I'm sure that's going to infuriate a few people who hear this. "Oh, no, this is a very serious event. I'm sorry, I'd put a serious event as maybe the athletes who actually have to train daily, who have to run, who have to continue to try and challenge themselves to grow. They have to strengthen their muscles. They have to do something. Not sit back and do nothing. We become very deceived if we think that sitting in a chair watching TV can be considered training for an event, can be considered growing, to be considered dedicated. When we bring this parable into it, man sitting in the chair would be the equivalent of the guy who dug a hole and put it in it. He doesn't challenge himself to get out of a chair. They didn't put off a contest of who can get the most things done in a day. Who can go out and be the best servant possible? Who can help the most people? It was who can sit back and do nothing? Who can sit back and ignore all the problems of the world? It was a challenge to see how selfish can you be? And this man won it. In fact, in the article I read, he had won it 3 consecutive years in a row. He was very dedicated to status quo, sitting back, and living a comfortable life. When we're given something by God, we're being tested to see if we can handle it. It could be something big, it could be something small. But every single blessing we are given from God is a challenge. God wants to know how you're going to use it. He's challenging you to see if you're going to be resourceful, if you're going to dedicate yourself to do more, to grow, to use it to serve Him, to be a blessing to others, to help others. It can be something as simple as you were able to make a car payment. Have you ever used your car to help somebody? Maybe you have a neighbor who's elderly, can't drive herself, and needs help getting the groceries. Maybe you could simply offer to take her to the store, or even to just go pick them up for her. It could be as simple as a shovel. And you could use it to help somebody shovel who can't do it on their own. It could be a house. You could take your house and invite people over. Talk to them about God. I'm not saying you just invite them in. The only thing you do is pull out the Bible and start reading it at them, and you hammer them over the head with it repeatedly. I'm saying invite them over. Maybe play a few games. Have a snack. Have a meal. Have them come over for coffee. Maybe have a family member come over, and you help them. Play a few games. Talk to them. Have some fellowship. In doing things like this, we're being a servant to God. Remember what the Bible told us. He was the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. This new year is coming. It's coming fast. Have you thought about what you want to do next year? Have you thought about how you want to begin this new year? Think about it. Remember, He's entrusted you with a lot. It doesn't even have to be something physical in this world. It could be a gift you've been given. Some special talent you have. Pardon the play on words there. You could use that talent. Maybe in using that talent, it will grow and you can be earned more talents. Maybe given the chance to spread His word to the very ends of the earth. Maybe it's simply helping somebody you see in need. The question is, are you going to challenge yourself to accept the fact that Christ came? He was born in a lowly position. He didn't come down as a king. He started as the Omega. He He came down in love. He came down and showed us all how to serve God through his very life. And then he gave an act of love for us all, each and every one of us individually, beyond any other act anyone has ever done. He's seen the fact that we were all stained by sin, and that nothing we could do could ever wash away those sins, no matter how good we were. We would never overcome the evil that was within us. And he said, I love them so much that for each and every person, I will give them one more chance. I'll give them that second chance they need, that chance to be saved. And he died for us on the cross. He took upon himself the burden, the weight of every single sin. And on the third day, he was raised again, defeating death, defeating the burden of sin. He came forth and appeared to those who knew him, told them what this event truly meant, how special it was, told them about the gift of salvation, how they just needed to trust in him, to believe in what he did for them, that he gave his life so that they could be saved, and that if they truly believed in this, and they repented of the sins they've committed, the sins they would commit, that they could have that gift of eternal life. And he worked with them for a while. And then he ascended into heaven on a cloud. The beginning of Christianity. The beginning of that gift. In the beginning of the challenge. At that point, everyone he appeared to had the challenge to serve him. We had been going through the book of Acts. They were challenged with the gift they were given. The gift of the Spirit. The gift to go out and spread the word of God. To show their neighbors how much they loved them by offering them that same gift, by telling them about it, telling them how much Jesus cared for them. And because they were like the first two servants, the first two slaves, they went out with that gift they were given and spread it and cultivated it and worked towards it. And the church grew, and it grew fast because those who were saved, those who were given that gift, went out and used it. They went out and said, how can we serve God better? How can I personally do something for him? They weren't like the third one who said, I got it. I know I'm saved. And now I'm going to hide it. I'm going to continue to do everything I've always done. I'm not going to let that light shine. I'm not going to let that love shine. That's not what he expects from us. He expects us to follow the example of the first two, and he gave us this parable so we can't deny it. He expects a lot from us, but he gives us what we need to do it. Any resource we need to serve him, he gives us. In fact, he gives us more resources than we currently need. Why? Because he wants us to grow to use those even more. And the more we use, the more he will entrust to us. It's a continually growing relationship. As we grow stronger in our relationship with God and we start reaching out to others more and more and we become more comfortable with that, then he gives us something new to use. so we don't get to that point where, once again, even though we've advanced and we're doing more and more than we ever had before, we're at a point where we're going, I'm doing enough. I don't need to grow. I have a strong enough relationship with God. I don't need to grow anymore. I don't need to study the Bible. I know enough. I don't need to reach out and help that person because I'm already helping enough people. No, what he's saying is, as you grow, I will entrust more to you. And as I entrust more to you, you can do more. You can continue to grow. You can reach another level of potential that you didn't even realize you had in the beginning. That's what he expects from us. And that's what this parable is challenging us to do. Here's the thing to keep in mind as we start this new year. As you try and decide what task you want to set to try and accomplish. And here's what's going to help you not be one of that percentage that quits by the end of the first week. When you try and challenge yourself this new year, when we start this new beginning, keep that ending in sight. Remember what we were told in Revelations. Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to render every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. As you begin this new year, keep the fact that the end is in sight. Jesus' second coming could come at any moment. It says he's coming fast. We have no idea what timetable he's on. He invented time itself. But for us, any moment, the blink of an eye, could be that second coming. And no matter which way you feel about the order of the events of the end times, the fact is you have to accept one thing. He is coming. He is coming as king, and he will be coming in judgment. And at one point, you're going to be standing in front of him, and there's going to be a slideshow of your life going on. You're going to see every event you've ever gone through and have to answer for it. And at that time, there's going to be two groups. There's going to be the right hand. There he goes. These were my good and faithful servants. These were the people who truly knew me. These were the people who said, I'm going to dedicate my life to God. I'm going to use what he gives me. I'm going to truly trust in him and accept his gift. These were the people who he can sit there and say, when you help the least of these, you help me. These are the people, as we discussed in Sunday school this morning. I don't remember helping you. When you helped the least of these, you helped me. When you clothed those who had no clothes, you clothed me. When you fed those who had no food, you were feeding me. Because whatever you did for the least of these, you actually did for me. You heard my voice. You knew me. You just didn't realize it. Then there was the group on the left. And they're the ones going back. We never seen you to help you. We would have helped you if we had seen you. And he goes, you did see me. We ignored the least of these. We seen those with no clothes and said, I ain't giving you anything. We seen those who were going hungry and said, I ain't sharing with you. When you ignored them, you were ignoring me. And in that time, judgment will be cast. It could be before the end of this message. It could be tomorrow. It could be the next day. It could be next week. It could be next year. The fact is, we have no idea. But as we start a new year, remember that end. Will you try and choose how you want to live next year? Will you try and choose what you want to challenge yourself with? Keep that end in sight. Whenever we want to start a new beginning, we need to start it with the end in sight. We can't deny that one day we have to stand judgment. If we set our goals for next year based on that, and we keep reminding ourselves of that in the scriptures, then we're probably going to accomplish more of the goals than we've ever set before. Something that's more outside of us than within ourselves almost. Something that's more spiritual than physical. I'm not saying you shouldn't challenge yourself to try and get healthier, maybe eat healthier. Maybe do a little more exercise. I'm saying do something a little beyond just helping yourself. Maybe you can meet both goals at the same time. If you're going to say you want to exercise, maybe you can reach out to someone you know to have them exercise with you. Get up in the morning or afternoon or when you get home from work or in the evening and go for a walk together. Now you got that chance for fellowship with another person. They're not a believer, you got a chance now to reach out to them, a chance to help them. Maybe it's just somebody you know that's lonely. And now they're seeing you care for them. And remembering caring for them, you're caring for God, you're caring for Jesus. I can guarantee you in the new year, things change and you grow. Maybe it's a new family member being added on. But you know, my wife's pregnant. We have a new family member coming. What a challenge is that? How much responsibility does God cast on the parents when He grants us children? A single child, let alone multiple. It makes you rethink things. With this child coming, we had to relook at our lives a little bit. We had to look around our house a little bit. We looked around and go, here's what we have. What do we need? We need to make space for this child. What do we need? And what can we use and give out? Because we don't really need it, but we can use it to help somebody else. What can we give away? Because we don't use what somebody else is truly in need of. And we reevaluate it. We have piles to donate. Part of it was a little fun going through, going, I remember getting that, and I forgot we had that. I think I can give it to somebody who needs it. Maybe it'll be a new love life starting up, either yourself or a family member, and a new marriage. In one way or another, there is always growth. There's always change. What can you do with those possibilities? What can you do with those blessings? When these new additions come on, remember, you're being handed the talents. You have a choice now as to which servant you want to be. The more you're growing, the more you've been handed, the more He expects. And if you've been given just a little bit, then you're just at the start of that relationship. You can't use that as the reason you're not going to do anything. Decide what reaction you want from Christ. Do you want to thank you for being my good and faithful servant? Or do you want to be called an evil servant? A servant who needs to be cast out? A servant who never really said, I'm going to be your servant. Think about that as you set those resolutions for the new year. Ask yourself, how can I serve God this year? You want to see a revolution in this nation from darkness to light, a revival in Christian spirituality? This is what it takes. It doesn't take a mass change. It doesn't take a giant group of people assembling together in one place, singing songs. It just takes you, the single you, to say, God has entrusted this to me, and I'm going to use it. Just you. Just one. Because the fact is, God would have died for you to save you if you were the only person alive, because his love is that great. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you pour upon us. And not only do you meet our every need, but you go beyond our needs. You give us extra blessings on top of that, more resources than we need to use, so that we can use them to serve you, that we can use them to help others. Lord, help us to stay in your word and be reminded when we're in it of what it truly means and how we can truly serve you. Lord, as we start this new year, let us make it a new beginning with the end in sight, so that as we advance day by day, hour by hour, we try and grow for you. We try and build that relationship, and we reach out and use what you gave us to reach our potential, so we can be a good and faithful servant. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I know this was a very challenging message. If you think it's challenging to hear, it's even worse if you're the one studying it. I can guarantee you this, each and every one of you individually know yourselves better than anybody else. It's the same for me. You know the worst parts about you. Take what the word says and make it your mission to change. Don't worry about what anybody else says. Don't matter what anybody else says about you, what they think about you, because the fact is, you know yourself better than anybody else, other than God. He knows you better than you know yourself. Because there isn't a single person here, me included, who can honestly say they know the number of hairs on their head. Challenge yourself to make a new beginning with the end in mind. Please stand with me as we sing our closing.